I'm Ed Jetro.
Ready. I'd
like to welcome everybody to the March meeting of the Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting here in our offices in Springdale, as well as online. If you're online and wish to comment on any of the items on the agenda, if you'll hit the chat function and let Doug know which topic, so when we get to it, we can recognize you. Roll call, Director Lusk.
Here.
Director Reynolds.
Here.
Director Watts is absent. Director Nave.
Here.
Director Berkeley.
Here.
Director Micah.
Here.
Director Wilson.
Here.
We do have a quorum. If everybody please stand and join me in the pledge of the flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. And show the preliminary hearing is starting at 5:01. Well, first, is there any public comments? Doug, did you have anything online?
No, sir.
No public comments? Forms? Okay. Preliminary hearing of proposed historic use permits. Receive any public comments, request to contest, and general manager's report and recommendations regarding the applications for historic use permits submitted for the system subscribed in the notice of the preliminary hearing on proposed historic use permits for today's hearing, which was posted separately prior to our February 19th meeting in accordance with the district rules. Now I'll read the script from the attorney. Everybody, please bear with me. We have a quorum present, and on behalf of the board, I'd like to welcome everyone and declare the hearings and board meeting to be open to the public. Does any member of the public have any comments they want to make right now on any of the items on the agenda? We've already done that part. As required by law, this hearing is being recorded. This hearing will be governed by the district's rules, Chapter 36 of the Texas Water Code, and all applicable law, as the board will consider taking action on some or all of the historic use permit applications before us today if they are uncontested. Notice the presiding officer notes that the notice requirements for this hearing have been met. Apart from the regular board meeting notice, a separate public notice for the preliminary hearing on proposed historic use permits was provided by the general manager on February 19th, 2024, which is no less than 30 nor more than 35 days prior to today's hearing, in compliance with district rules F.3 subsection D and E.4 subsection F. That notice included the information that is required by the district rules and was posted at a place convenient to the public at the district office, provided to the county clerk of each of the four counties in the district for public posting, and provided to any person who has requested to receive such notices from the district. Additionally, the notice was also posted on the district's website. Finally, notice of the hearing was also included in the notice for the board meeting, which was posted in compliance with the Open Meetings Act. Unless there are any objections, I will ask that the staff include a copy of the notices in the administrative record for this hearing. Are there any objections to the sufficiency of the notice? Hearing none, the notices are admitted into the administrative record. The hearing notice included a list of some 23 historic use permit applications, all by one applicant, BKV Barnett, LLC. When I refer to the applications generally, those are the applications to which I'm referring unless otherwise noticed. Let me cover some procedural matters and explain how we'll work through the applications at this hearing. It is my understanding that our general manager is recommending issuance of each of the applications today, and if the applicant is in agreement with the general manager's recommendation regarding the applicant's maximum historic use determination on each permit application, and that the applicant has amended its applications in the MHU claims as necessary to reflect that agreement. Thus, the general manager will not be contesting any of the applications before us today. For those applications that are not contested, it is my intention today to give the board an opportunity to actually consider and vote on the applications. We may complete consideration and approval of all applications, or we may have to continue one or more applications if an issue arises. As provided by our rules, if at least two board members disagree with the general manager's proposed permit and want additional evidence on an application, we will continue that application. Or if we receive any valid requests for contested case hearing on any of the applications, we will defer those to a future date to consider. Our rules provide that the official record for uncontested applications may be our minutes, an audio tape, or hearing reports. We are making an audio recording of this hearing, but we may substitute meeting minutes later to serve as the official record of this hearing. Because we are making an audio recording of the hearing, I would ask that anyone who speaks clearly identify themselves on the record. Even if uncontested, the board is bound by law to evaluate each application on its own merits, look at all relevant information, and then review the statutory criteria to make its final decision. As required by the district's rules, the district's general manager and staff have done quite a bit of work and analysis during their technical review of the applications. The information in each application and the general manager's technical review, recommendation, and proposed permit is summarized in the board packet that each board member received previously. If any board member is interested in reviewing an application further or asking questions about an application to the staff, they'll have a chance to do so when we get to that application. The way the hearing will proceed is I'll ask the general manager to describe the nature of his review and analysis of the applications, then summarize his recommendations and the basis for those recommendations. The board will then have a chance to ask the general manager questions or even go through the information in the applications. If the applicant is in attendance, we'll certainly give the applicant a chance to make any statements to the board that the applicant desires. However, given that the general manager is not contesting any of the applications on today's agenda, it is not necessary for the applicant to make any presentation if the applicant agrees with the general manager's recommendation and believes that there is enough evidence in the record to support their application. If the applicant wants to add anything to the record, though, today would be the time to do it. It would be at that point in the proceedings for anyone who desires to comment on the merits of an application to do so or to ask questions of the general manager after being sworn in to satisfy legal requirements. After we're done with questions for all uncontested applications, if there are no open issues to be discussed, I will ask for a motion from the board on the applications. Upon the granting of an application, and assuming the applicant is in compliance with the district rules and all applicable laws and has paid all fees due, the district will issue a permit to the applicant. The applicant's right to produce and use groundwater shall be limited to the extent and purposes stated in the permit. I would like to note for the record that the district has not received any requests for contested case hearing for any of the historic use applications before us today. However, our rules allow someone to appear at today's preliminary hearing and attempt to contest a permit application. Requesting a contested case hearing is different than just making comments to the board on an application. Both are allowed, but requesting a contested case hearing is requesting to be named as a party in a contested administrative hearing, in essence, an administrative trial on the application. So before we go any further, is there anyone here today that wishes to formally request a contested case hearing on any of the applications? Anybody online, Doug?
Sir.
Although no one advised that they intend to request a contested case hearing on an application, you can certainly provide a comment on the application you're interested in when we get to that point. Because we have not received any contested case hearing requests on any of the applications, and because the general manager is recommending permit issuance on each of the applications, I hereby declare the applications to be uncontested. Unless there are any questions, we will now review the applications to secure sworn testimony from the general manager in all the applications before us today. And let me swear him in. Doug, please raise your right hand. With respect to all of the applications before us today, do you solemnly swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Proceed with the overview.
All right, guys, we've been through several of these. It's been a minute, so I'm going to give you guys just a little bit of refresher. After we adopted rules permitting in 2019, we set the end of the historic use period at the end of 2019, started taking applications for historic use permits through 2020. We extended that deadline. It was originally at the end of 2020. We extended it through the spring of 2021, largely due to COVID. End of 2021, we started acting on them. Is that correct? So we initially broke all the historic use applications we got into a few groups and a few categories. The first one is those that requested a volume less than or equal to their maximum historic use that they had reported to the district. We broke those into those that were declared administratively complete, and then those that were lacking information. There was all kinds of stuff that we were lacking. We've acted on all of those so far. Those have all been acted on. Then the second big category were those that were asking for a volume larger than what they had or what we had as reported data during the maximum, during the historic use period. Some of those were, you know, maybe they drilled a well and they're building a subdivision only 10% built out, or maybe, you know, they didn't have recorded data, right? Maybe there were a system that was brought online after the rules update. So we went through the first round of those that were just really easy, right? The low-hanging fruit. We got those done late last year. This is the second group of those that were asking for an extrapolated historic use or something more than what they'd reported. These are all BKV, which was previously Devon Energy. So these are all used for oil and gas. They had originally asked for quite a large volume, much larger than they had reported. However, after going through an operating permit process with us and they got an understanding of how that worked, we then met with them early. Was that late last year?
Yeah, it was late last year.
End of the year, we met with them with what was going to be ultimately be my recommendation, what I declared as their maximum historic use. It was based on their historic pumping. We sat down and had a meeting with them. At that time, they agreed that, yeah, they were comfortable with those numbers. They then amended their applications, as Tracy mentioned, to reflect what I had identified as the maximum historic use. I've got all these up here right now. If you want to go through all of them, there's quite a few of them. But each and every one of them, they have amended their request to be equal to my recommendation, or what I defined as the maximum historic use, which ultimately became my recommendation that was in the notice. So because of that, because again, they agreed with my recommendation and have amended everything down to that volume, it's my recommendation to approve all applications for historic use permits that were on today's notice. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Does anyone on the board have any questions for Doug on any of the applications or the review that was conducted by the general manager and staff?
Oh, sorry. The historic use, What tie, if any, any relation to what they would be allowed for speculative volume of water?
So we don't issue permits on a speculative basis.
Oh, no. We currently issue operating permits
Based on real data. Like, this is a project that we're going to do, and they have to have, you know, some sort of documentation showing that.
But that's based, I guess where I was going is that's based on thickness of the aquifer
and
area of land they control.
Right.
Now, what
most of these systems, I don't know if Jay or Kyle has done a system by system look. I would say most of these, they could probably get additional waters.
So I haven't done,
it's based on their lease. Because most of their leases, I think all of their leases give them the right to produce water. So it's based on their lease. So it's a very large.
I know there's one for 47 million gallons a year.
Right. Right. Yeah, they historically pumped quite a bit of water, especially 2013, 2014, back then.
What are the pump rates now? Roughly,
they
lows for these wells.
I think they bottomed out probably 2019, 2020, 2018, 2019. It picked back up in 2022. They pumped a decent amount, nowhere near what they had historically pumped, but it had fallen back off. I mean, obviously, it tracks with the price of oil and gas, right? But, most of them. They're well below the last several years, anything close to what they've historically pumped. Most of their systems, if not all of them, they've got access to even more water because it's based on their lease, right? I've seen some leases that don't include water, but I believe all theirs do.
And so with this, if someone wanted to come in and develop that property and put in a public water supply or other,
right,
this would take precedence over that.
Right, it would. Right, it would. It would have to be deducted off. For example, somebody had a CCN or had a about controlled acreage that they wanted to put in public water supply, this would have to be deducted off. Correct.
If they abandoned their lease or lost their lease or whatever, what would happen to this historic use permit?
I think it would probably transfer with the lease, and they would have to transfer it, you know, kind of like
the lease just ended.
If it just ended, oh, that's a question for our attorney. I think they still have their permit, but that's a question for Brian.
Can you repeat the question?
I said that was all my questions. If the lease ended, what happens to the historic use permit? Does it automatically transfer back to the landowner, or does it cease as the lease would end?
I mean, that depends on the terms of the lease and the specific agreement between the company and the lessor and the lessee. The historic use permit doesn't necessarily come to an end. You know, historic use permits can be transferred to a new owner for the same purpose of use. You can't transfer it to a new purpose of use, but it would just be controlled by whatever the terms of the lease were.
Right.
But this time, though, if BKV ended their lease, the historic use permit would not necessarily transfer to the landowner. It would stay with BKV until they transferred it.
Right.
That's right.
Thank you. So,
okay. Anybody else have a question? At this time, unless there's, I think I'm at the right place. At this time, unless there's any objection, I'm going to direct that the entire packet of information provided to the board on these applications prepared by the general manager, including the applications, technical review, recommendations, proposed permits, and all other supporting information, be included in the administrative record for this hearing. If the applicant or any member of the public wishes to provide comment on any of the applications, we will do so at this time. Does anybody wish to do so? Nothing online, nothing in the room. If the board is ready to move forward with the decision on the permit applications, we can do that now. In doing so, the board must consider the general manager's presentation and evidence given at the hearing and the criteria that Chapter 36 in the district rules require for granting or denying a permit application. Do I have a motion to take action on any of these applications? Any or all, I will say that.
I'll make the motion that we approve all applications together as presented.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Director Micah. That motion by Director Reynolds, second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. We'll now continue. I do believe that ends that, does it not?
Correct.
And show the public hearing closes at 5:18. That hearing does. Second public hearing. Receive any public comments, requests to contest the general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum tract size requirements. Item A, applicant Aqua Texas out of Fort Worth, system ID 003P. Doug?
Yeah, so
do we want to do all, are these all that, Aqua?
I was about to go into this. If you remember last month, we talked about being able to take action on some of these operating permits as a bundle. So we've changed the wording in the agenda, added language. The board may choose to take action on the above listed items scheduled for hearing as a group, provided, however, that any board member or general manager may pull any of the items for separate discussion and action. Any item pulled will be considered after the remaining items. So, first of all, talk about operating permits. Just kind of talk about what Shannon was talking about, mentioned a second ago. You know, either the board shall grant the lesser of non-speculative demand or applicable annual production based on contiguous controlled acres. Always put this up there. So, my recommendation is to pull the first one, pull item the operating permit amendment and the exception related to system ID 003P for Aqua Texas. And then the other two, system 007H and systems 204P, they're very straightforward, agreed with my recommendation. And so I would recommend a motion to approve those, approve my recommendation on those two, unless y'all would like to talk about them. They're straightforward, public water supply.
If the board is so inclined, I chair and entertain a motion to approve item 1B and 1C together.
So made.
Motion by Director Wilson. Do I hear a second? I'll second it. Any further discussion?
I have discussion.
Okay, go ahead.
I cannot vote on one of these.
Yes, you can. If you see, I mean, yeah, I guess you can't. Do you need to fill something out?
It's not 10%. Then I would still rather abstain. I submitted it, so I probably need to abstain. Just
okay.
Okay.
I don't. So I just go. Go. We have a quorum. Go ahead.
We've got seven members here, so we're open.
One abstention.
Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? One abstention. And show it in the record. For A, what are we going
to
do?
All right. So I'd ask to pull A for system 003P. I'm going to go through this quickly. The reason I wanted to pull this one, because there's an exception request in here. But as you'll see, this is one we'd previously approved permit and the exception. The well expired, so they had to reapply for it. It's an Aqua Texas system. It's in Parker County, just west of Weatherford. They operate multiple wells. So we got this application from them early this year. But to back up, in 2020, I think it was the second operating permit we ever acted on. It was the second, because the one in Wise County was first. Grayford Holdings was the applicant. They were developing a piece of property that was immediately adjacent to a subdivision that Aqua Texas already serviced. As part of the developer agreement with Aqua Texas, Aqua Texas was asked that they go on and submit an application for a new well, submit an application for an operating permit. We got all the other old wells added to the operating permit. However, with the well that was included, it all got transferred. The permit and the pending well application all got transferred to Aqua Texas. Kyle sent an email saying we still needed driller signature, monitor well agreement. Was that it? Before the application can be approved, those were stipulations that were put in place by the board. Well, the driller signature just has to be on every application. And then the monitor well agreement was put on as a stipulation for the exception approval. So we never received those things. So the application expired, moved forward to January of this year. Engineers for the applicant reached out to us, said they are needing to drill that well. So they resubmitted the application, basically the same application that we previously approved. I think it moved like 15 feet, 20 feet.
Yeah, just a little bit.
It's on the same lot. It just got moved a little bit on that lot. So again, resubmitting an application for exception that the board approved in 2020, and it just expired. Here's the proposed well location. As you can see, it meets well spacing. It's larger circle. Property line spacing is the exception. So this blue line, let me turn on my laser pointer. This blue line right here is the subdivision boundary. It goes up there. So you can see this 250-foot circle, so it crosses onto these properties. So it is slightly an exception. As far as the allocation, based on the applicant CCN of 552 acres, deduction of a little over 48 acres for existing registered wells, average rock for thickness 345 feet, deepest wells deeper than that, subtract off the applicant's historic use permit and the 7 million gallons that they have. This is an operating permit amendment. They already have an operating permit when they originally came in. That didn't expire because the old wells got added to the operating permit. So They could have up to 49,759,015 gallons. They're only asking for 1,167,560 gallons. And that's just to add to that 7 million. Keeping in mind that they've got all the wells on the operating permit, but really most of their wells, the old wells, are pumping under the historic use permit. The new well can really only pump under the operating permit. So that takes their operating permit up to just under 8.4, 8.5 million gallons. They provided justification for the request. It's based on new connections and just growing out that new section of the subdivision being built out. So that being said, my recommendation is approval of the amendment for operating permit 003P in the amount of 1,167,560 gallons. And should the board want to move forward with approving the exception again, and I would recommend that you do on the grounds that we have already approved one 3 or 4 years ago. But if you approve that exception, I would add that we put the following stipulations on that exception: enter into an agreement for the ongoing measurement of water levels, complete a geophysical log and provide that log to the district, and then provide all pump test data to the district. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Does the applicant have anything to say?
No, we're just here to
watch and listen.
Try to answer any questions that y'all may have.
Board have any questions?
The houses or the properties that will be infringed upon by the well are all being served by that well.
No, they are not.
Go back to your map.
They are not, Shannon, but there are no registered wells. I'm assuming there's wells on them, but they're not registered.
Subdivision that is on the eastern side of that is serviced by Parker County SUD.
Yeah, this is served by Parker County SUD. This down here, I don't know.
They are infringing somewhat on four lots to the south.
Right. Right. But those four lots to the south, they do not get water from the applicant, but I don't know where they get water. There's no registered wells, so I don't know where they get water from.
Yeah, looks like there's only structures on two of those.
Right.
Two least affected, it looks like.
Right.
Yeah. Least impacted.
So, happy to answer any questions.
Board have a question? Any questions with Doug or the applicant's engineers? You've heard the general manager's recommendation. Board to entertain a motion. Got a motion by Director Lust. Do I hear a second? Second by Director Nave. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I believe that closes that hearing, does it not?
It does.
And show 528. Regular portion of the agenda. Consent agenda is normal and customary non-controversial items on the agenda. Any board member can pull any of the items off for discussion separately. Includes minutes from the regular board meeting, a public hearing on February 15th, approval of bank statement ending February 29th, and financial reports of the district, approval of investment report, payment of bills, invoices received through today, reimbursement expenses incurred on behalf of the district through today, and approval of requests for extension applications submitted through March today. Doug?
I've got one addition. I've got an expense report from Director Micah for $88.44.
Chair would entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll move.
Motion by Director Reynolds. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Wilson. Doug, I have one question. We had some, I think you said recently we've had some hit their max on extensions.
Correct. Okay.
Was there only one that hit their fifth?
Right.
Is a fifth on this one?
Yes. There's two fifths on this one.
Okay.
And we'll let them know that we don't approve more than five. Or we haven't historically.
We have. Well, and the reason I'm asking that is to remind the board that we instructed the staff to cap that at five. Right. with the understanding that they would have to resubmit an application.
Right.
I'll let them know that when they submit the request, and okay. I'll also let them know when that's.
Okay, so just making everybody aware we might hear a squeak, and we may not. So, any other questions? All in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item two is moot. Consider authorization publication of proposed amendments to district rules and scheduling of a public rulemaking hearing. Doug?
Yeah, I'll give you an update, and then Brian wants to add some stuff. So, you know, we've passed a few resolutions to kind of enact some legislation that went into place that requires some rule changes and some other minor rule changes that we discussed just to get those in place. We've done through resolution. So we need to undergo rulemaking to get that stuff into our rules. But then there's several other things that staff has identified. And I think there's just a handful of things. I met with Brian March 1st, 3 weeks ago. Spent the day with Brian going through all of those changes, kind of walking through conceptually, looking at the rules, seeing how we'd address them. We do not have a draft yet, but I do expect that. I don't know when, Brian. I would hope in the near future to get out to the board for review. But we will need authorization to go on and publish notice because it is a longer notice. Sorry, let me pin Brian, put him over so y'all can look at him. So again, I don't know when he'll have those ready, but I'd like to go on and get authorization to publish notice in case it is soon. That way we can go on and set the hearing. Because that's, a 30-day notice, Brian?
It's 20, I believe.
20. But we have to put all the notice in the newspaper, and and sometimes that's tricky, getting it in all the newspapers in time. So,
do we need to have a rules committee meeting on this or not?
What I was going to do, Tracy, is once we get a draft from Brian, send it out to the executive committee. Visit with that group and see if there's anything else that needed to be added. There was nothing that Brian and I went over that was nothing. Brian, there's nothing that you consider controversial or even really an issue. Is there?
I mean, it's just a bunch of little cleanup. I mean, yep. There's some things there that, you know, just didn't think of. And it, you know, originally that have come up over the last several years, but it's mostly cleanup. There's nothing too big in there, I don't think. I'm looking right now.
No, I said it's been 3 weeks since we went over it, but there was nothing from a board perspective. I don't think there's anything that y'all would consider substantial. There's a couple things that'll help staff out that might be substantial to some of us, but not necessarily to you guys.
And I don't know if any of the board members have any thoughts of any tweaks we need to do to our rules. I would say if you do get with Doug in the next week or so.
Right.
About the only thing I remember coming up before the board was an exemption on fire departments, and we decided not to.
Right.
But that would have to be in this. Something like that would have to be in here.
Right.
So.
Right. But yeah, that's if y'all have anything else that you'd like us to address, let us know, and I'll talk. Happy to talk through it with you, and then visit with Brian, see what we need. But my recommendation would be to go on and authorize me to publish a notice for that whenever it's ready. What I would do is, Brian, do you have an ETA on when I expect a draft?
Let's say mid next week.
Okay. So if I'm getting something from Brian next week, then maybe the following week I can meet with the executive committee, and possibly we could even schedule it in April.
May. Your 20 days of trying to get the newspapers, I think you're going to hit that. Because our next meeting is on the 18th.
That's true.
So I would say at this point, let's pencil in May.
Okay.
Forward. Need a motion on that? Chair to entertain a motion authorizing publication for proposed amendments to the district rules.
So move.
Motion by Director Nave. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Director Reynolds. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item four, General Manager's Report. Doug, anything in particular on yours?
We've been working, staff's been working quite a bit with the counties, getting them kind of up to speed on the groundwater, on the GACs, the groundwater availability certification studies. We've executed agreements, interlocal agreements with Wise County, Parker County, City of New Fairview, Annetta North, City of Reno hasn't executed yet, but they're going to. City of Rome hasn't executed yet, but they're going to. City of Boyd, City of Aurora. Wise County is really kind of on top of this for sure. But we finished our first GAC review. We'll send that off tomorrow. We've got another one that we're in the middle of reviewing right now. So it's keeping staff pretty busy.
And you had to kick one back.
And the first one we got in, we had to kick back and say this is not done in compliance with the administrative code.
And I know the treader's been out because it drove by my office the other day.
You saw it out there?
It drove by the office heading south.
Yeah. Zane out there? No. Yeah, they've been busy. So other than that, not a whole lot. I mean, it's been busy, but it's not busy. We slowed down, you know. Applications are down, as I mean, you can imagine. But we're staying busy otherwise.
But the counties keep issuing subdivisions.
I did talk to Kerry Maroney today. He is strongly encouraging Monte County to execute that interlocal. He was blown away by what we're able to produce for this minimal cost.
To kick that one back to him and say, I'm not doing this.
Right. He called me and asked me what I would say.
For the board's information, that my county judge is trying to roll a complete update of his subdivision rules in with approving the interlocal agreement. And they're really two separate things.
Right.
And he now has an 89-track subdivision on his agenda for Monday. So, and he has no agreement for us to review. So, we'll see. Anything else? General Counsel's report. Ryan, you have anything else?
No, I don't. We've got a Doug and I attended a big legislative committee meeting with about 30 water law changes items on it yesterday. Who knows what'll come of that? Who knows if the legislature with the squabble between the House and Senate is going to be able to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
But no, other than a few little permitting issues and working on these rules amendments, I don't have anything to report.
Okay. Our next meeting is April 18th. Obviously, if any board member has anything we need on the agenda, let Doug or myself know.
One of the things that, just so you guys know, met with the committee to just go over the rainwater harvesting grants right before this meeting. We are going to schedule interviews for, would we land on 6 of them, the afternoon before our April board meeting. So we intend to have an item on that agenda to fund the rainwater harvesting grants for this year.
We have not really set aside a dollar amount.
We'll do that like we did last year. After we decide what to award, then we'll move money into the budget.
We certainly collected enough penalty last year to do so.
Right.
You said the afternoon before our next meeting?
Yes.
That's on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah. So the afternoon of, I'm sorry, of. So Thursday, we'll be meeting here starting at 1:30 on the 18th, Thursday.
So when are you going to do your interviews?
Yep.
Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, and show the meeting adjourned at 5:39.
Thank you.
That's right. Yes, the storm is coming.
For everybody's information, Grayford got covered in hail because I just got photos from my son up there. And I mean, the ground is white.
Okay, thank you very much.
My son got practice, although I'm not
pulled over.
Yeah. I have to pull underneath one of the cars.